English breakfast.
Now it's really more of a studying tea, isn't it?
Yes. Let's see, Lapsang Souchong for those rainy mornings. Earl Grey.
Remember that camping trip to Vermont?
Ah, of course.
China Black. How about it, Allison? How about a good hot mug of China Black?
Do you have any beer?
Dear listener, we accept the fact that you have to sacrifice a whole hour to listen to whatever it is we're about to do wrong. And what we will do is wrong. You see us the way you want to see us, in the simplest of terms, in the most convenient definitions. But we found out that each one of us is a brain.
An athlete.
A princess.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Geek Movie Club.
Welcome to the Geek Movie Club, the podcast that is concerned that Miley Cyrus may have a medical condition. I mean, really, what's up with that tongue? This is episode zero, our pilot episode for the 30th of September, 2013. I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined by...
Richard Gray.
And David Longo.
Excellent, guys. How are you?
Very good.
Becky.
Hey! This week we're going to trial out a few sections and see what works, because let's face it, this is a pilot. And we do want your feedback on this episode anytime you can by sending feedback to feedback@geekmovieclub.com, or you can Skype us. The Skype handle is geek, actually, all one word. You don't need to friend us, you just have to send us a message. Guys, how you been?
Fantastic. I'm glad we're doing a movie show
finally
again.
Finally!
We're back! Those of you who've been suffering through the wilderness of our eternal prattle over comics.
Picture books for
picture
kids.
Books for kids. Picture books for us adult-like types.
Hey!
Glad that we're back talking about our first love.
Absolutely, movie. And more importantly, we can swear.
But don't when start. Will we?
Gosh darn it.
Gee willikers, Richard.
So we're going to we do have a structure for the show, but we are going to be kind of finding our feet a little bit here. This is a pilot episode, and it will grow over the next couple of weeks. Your feedback is absolutely crucial into making this show. What is this show? It is our weekly roundup of what we've been watching, what the news is, what the gossip hanging around town is. Basically, anything we want it to be.
It's in the title, people. It's a geek movie club.
Absolutely. So sometimes we may have a film we want to talk about. Other times, like today, we've got the fall season of television starting, so I'll be covering a little bit of that. Richard has been enjoying Doctor Who greatly.
Oh, yes.
So he's going to talk a little bit about that. Longo has quizzes for us to go through, which I'm curious about.
They don't know, guys. Neither do you.
Neither do we. We don't know at all. So let's get this rolling straight off the rack, as they would say, and say, what have we been watching this week, guys?
Well, I think, let's also, I mean, the fall season has started, but probably the biggest show, probably of the year, biggest debut of the year, is Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which started on ABC's US network, and it'll be on Channel 7 this week in Australia.
Absolutely. Finally, they're kind of catching them up, like Arrow did last year. We're actually going to catch this one up and actually run on time. What do we all think of this show? This has had 12 million viewers in its debut. Million,
which makes it, I think, the biggest network drama debut in 4 years.
That's fantastic. Yeah, what was the last one? Do we know what it was? Gotta be Walking Dead. Network, wasn't it?
No, it's probably, there's probably things like, because competing against it, things like NCIS just do amazing numbers. Probably something along those lines, you know?
Fair enough. And did you, what were the initial, I mean, we talked about this a little bit on behind the panels, but let's face it, movie people and comic book people never talk to each other. So our initial reactions were positive, I assume?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Definitely. I still think the show has sort of growing pains at the moment, because it is a pilot.
Much like this episode of our show.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they will learn too. There's not as many hot women in Geek Movie Club yet.
As there are in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No.
But Agent Coulson, he was the best part of it.
Absolutely. I'm so glad they did bring him back. We don't know how they've brought him back yet, and they've kept that a mystery in the show as well, which is nice.
Even he doesn't know.
No.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Clark Gregg needed his own TV show in some form or another, so this is it.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to set some ground rules here as well, because we're dancing around it. We don't want to talk about any of the things that are given away. Let's set some ground rules, and we haven't talked about this before, and we talked about it about other shows, about spoilers. What are we going to do on this show for spoilers?
Well, look, I think because we're talking about such current stuff, like with behind the panels, it's spoilers and all, because we're often talking about stuff that's been out for a while.
Absolutely.
We're going to try and keep spoilers to a minimum, I think, for the new stuff, particularly given that there's different release dates around the world.
If there is something that we need to go into spoilers in depth, then we might actually tag them at the end of the show as well. Yeah. We might actually save them and have a spoiler zone at the end so people can finish
like
the show.
Like we did in the old film show.
That's right. And then they can come in and they can listen to a spoiler zone if they want to. We will set one simple ground rule, though, which is when it comes to movies, not so much television shows, but when it comes to movies, I think we're going to follow a kind of a standard set now, which is 2 weeks after the movie, we're not going to spoil up to 2 weeks after the movie. After that, we can kind of do it with a spoiler zone. But I think once it's come out on Blu-ray, DVD, I think everything's fair game. If you haven't watched it by then, it's your problem. Mm-hmm. All right? Okay. Let's move on to other things we've been watching now. We're going to have a theme for this at some point, but we don't have one at the moment. But let's see if I can play something. How about this one?
I'm going to need some more FBI guys.
Yeah, that'll do. Okay.
What can I try this one?
Yeah.
I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
I like that even better.
I think that should be the theme.
I think that's it. What we're going to talk about here is my little TV corner. Now, this is going to change as the year progresses because, of course, fall season only comes once a year. And at the moment, we just started back the fall season in America. Now, a lot of the stuff we're talking about for our local listeners, you can pick up on American iTunes. If you have blockers for IP addresses, you can use things like Hulu and stuff like that. Mm. They're kind of workarounds. We are at the ass end of the world, so we kind of have to make up the way we do stuff.
Absolutely.
But it is current news, and we want to talk about the current news. So we are going to kind of dance around this a little bit. But I want to talk about two new shows that have actually started. I'm a bit of a sitcom junkie. You guys know this. We did see back returns of Two and a Half Men. We saw a return of How I Met Your Mother. We've now met the mother, which is interestingly
and
enough.
She's awesome.
I think she's really cool.
She's
really good. So a lot more. This is the last season of How I Met Your Mother. So this is about how they form their relationship.
It's always been one of those shows that I'll watch it when it's on, but I've never made a concerted effort.
How I Met Your Mother, but I have felt that it's kind of run its course, and I'm glad they're finally bringing it to an end. It's one of those shows where you go, I don't want it to completely jump the shark. You know, I would like it to finish before.
And this season's really interesting, isn't it?
It is, because we're doing flash forwards.
And people don't know yet, but the whole season is going to be set over a 3-day period.
Yeah, and what we're seeing, in this first episode, he sits down, and there's this wonderful split screen shot where basically she comes in and sits down because she's at the same table, but it's a year down the track. And there's this scene where he's talking to her while he's still sitting at the table in the present. And it's really clever. But anyway, it's a little bit confusing. But so we've got all these flash forwards.
I think I've seen enough to understand it, so I might start watching with
this. Yeah, have a look at it. This season's not too bad. Two and a Half Men is a series that has been derided a lot lately because of, you know, Charlie Sheen and blah, blah. This season started strong. The first episode is actually quite funny. They brought in an actress who I can't remember her name, but she's basically coming in as Charlie's lost daughter.
Right.
And she is as much of a deviant as he is, or he was. And so that's quite funny as well. But the two shows I really want to talk about are two premieres for this year. The Michael J. Fox Show, which is seeing the return of Michael J. Fox to television.
I have a problem about that, though, quickly, though.
Yeah, well, I've got a couple problems with the show. So let me just...
the name.
Well, that's one of the problems.
Okay.
That's one of the problems I have with the show. The days of doing the Dick Van Dyke Show or what have you are long gone. And I think the fact that it's called the Michael J. Fox Show, but he's not playing Michael J. Fox, it's confusing and it's kind of an old-fashioned idea. Push that aside. The other problem I have with it is Betsy Brandt is a wonderful actress from Breaking Bad. Wonderful actress. The only problem is she's too young to be his wife. And she actually comes across as too young. She's doing a great job, but I don't believe her that she is the mother of the college-age student. Mm. She would have had to have had that boy when she was 10, you know?
Hey, maybe that's what happened.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. So aside from those two little niggles, I quite enjoyed the show. Mm. I thought it was really nice to see Michael J. Fox back on screen again.
Mm.
The only issue I had and the only reason...
She's 40, though, by the way.
No, she's 35 or something.
No, the actress is 40.
Well, even at 40, I still don't buy it. Anyway, the point is... I found the show just in... And once again, it's pilot. You've got to give things a few episodes
this is correction, because it's two episodes.
It's two episodes. I only watched the first, though.
Oh, okay.
So in the pilot episode, the problem I had, and maybe the second episode corrects this a little bit,
no.
I found it just a little bit preachy.
Yes. I actually described it to a friend of mine as afterlife-y. Because it's like there is absolutely nothing negative to be found at all.
No, there is. There's nothing negative.
Nothing. But it's got this glow. It just feels like you're watching... him in heaven?
I wouldn't go quite
it's
that
like
far.
When Michael J. Fox dies, Parkinson's disease is not going to be an issue.
We're walking into some strange territory.
No, this is seriously what the show. Parkinson's is nothing in the show. Nothing.
Well, they talk about it, and that's the problem I have, is that it's all about how he has Parkinson. Mm. And I know that's the focus of the story, and it's applauded that they're covering this. Mm. But do you really think, Richard, I'm going to throw this to you.
Mm.
Do you really think that NBC, because that's the network he works for,
yeah.
okay? NBC, do you really think that they would put a man with Parkinson's disease on the nightly news?
Probably not, given that network news in the States.
That's what I'm talking about. Is major news. We're not talking about independent station here. We're talking about NBC. At one point, he goes onto the Today Show, talks to Matt Lauer. He's going to go, I don't buy that NBC would put him back on the news.
No.
You know, and that's kind of the basis of the story. He's coming back to the news after quitting because he had Parkinson's disease. And now he's coming back into the fold. And I have a problem with the premise because I don't think they would put him on TV. And if they're making him a street reporter, so he's going out and getting stories, they couldn't insure him.
Yeah, but I think the premise, you sometimes have to just go with it, because if the setup for the show is crazy as it is, go with it. I mean, 2.5 Men that you mentioned, there's been some pretty stupid setups that have resulted in some funny outcomes.
Agreed, but 2.5 Men is farcical, and they get away with it by being completely farcical. This isn't
satirical at all?
This is trying to be that family comedy it's kind of like, you know, we're all pulling together and eating at the dinner table. You know, I mean, that was the focus of the first episode, was getting the family to eat together.
I'll check it out and come back next week.
For me, out of 5 stars, I'm giving it about 3.5. I think it's a good start, and I would like to see more. I'm just a little bit worried that it's not quite what I was hoping it would
they
be.
They should have gone for a Curb Your Enthusiasm type deal.
Or Spin City.
Or Spin City, yeah.
I would love it if it had gone Spin City-wise.
David, the other one that you watched, I think, because it went head-to-head with Michael J. Fox.
And beat it in the ratings.
Ratings is the crazy one.
This is David E. Kelly's new show. Now, David E. Kelly...
Well, they both received mixed reviews, I should say.
Well, did you watch this one, Richard?
No, I did, but I did see an interview this week with Robin Williams, and I was really fascinated by it.
So. Yeah, well, it's interesting. The show is interesting. It's because Sarah Michelle Gellar's returned to screen as well, so she's playing his daughter. They're advertising executives at a very popular advertising company. And the first episode is all about how they're about to lose their McDonald's campaign.
Okay.
And so they sell this idea of basically resurrecting a 70s ad all about feelings, but getting the right voice for today to do it. And they pursue Kelly Clarkson to actually be the voice of it. I found the series patchy. Now, David E. Kelly works in long form normally. He's an hour show person. It's very kind of dark, satirical comedy, not just straight out. This is straight out sitcom, but in his style. So it's not laugh out loud, ha-ha funny. And every now and again, Robin Williams would kind of cut loose, but then they'd bring him back again. And he's kind of playing, in a way, he's kind of playing Denny Crane, because he's kind of playing the idea that he used to be really big, and now he's fading a little bit, you know? And Sarah Michelle Gellar is kind of the one who's the straight man in the piece. She's the, I guess, in many ways, James Spader in this particular case. It's an okay show. Once again, it's about 3 stars. It's okay. I want to see more of it, but I think it could drop off the watch list pretty quickly. Anyway, that's, and of course, Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., which we've already talked about.
And one more episode of Breaking Bad left.
And one more episode of Breaking Bad. Now, I got to say, I'm way behind on Breaking Bad. I am still watching season 1, I'm ashamed to say. But that's okay. I'm catching up slowly.
And I have never watched
it. And you've never watched it. From what I've seen, Richard, it is actually pretty good. And iTunes at the moment in Australia has all the Breaking Bad seasons on sale.
But for reasons we're about to get into in a moment, my television watching is being occupied by one show.
Yeah, and we're gonna jump into that right now. This is Richard's Adventures in Time and Space.
As we know, it's the 50th anniversary
of
Doctor Who this year. You may have heard it mentioned in the media. It's a big deal for any show to have sort of still been around for 50 years. It obviously wasn't on air for that whole time, but it's been on air for a good 30-something years of those 50. I decided, in my infinite wisdom, to go back and watch them in order. And I'm not talking about from the reboot. I'm talking about from the very beginning with William Hartnell as the, at the time, the first and only Doctor. And my God, it's fun. It's the most fun I've had going back and finding out. You know, the problem we have with the first and second Doctor, with William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton's eras, is that there are a lot of episodes missing. Luckily, there's a lot more Hartnell available.
Missing,
than,
as in lost?
Well, see, what happened was BBC had this junking policy in the 60s and 70s where they would actually just toss out all the films and tapes of shows just to clear...
Interestingly enough, almost all television stations outside of America seems to archive everything, but Australia was doing the same thing. A lot of early episodes of Number 96 were actually they reused the tapes.
Tapes, yeah. So they're just gone. And it's not just Doctor Who that was affected. It was a lot of shows. I mean, you know, classic British comedies, dramas, you know, BBC, news recordings, all that sort of stuff, gone.
Wow, I did not know that.
A few years ago, they did a massive, massive hard target search around the world to try and find the missing episodes. They recovered quite a few, but there's still entire serials missing. Now, the thing to remember when you're watching early Doctor Who is that you look at the series and you go, okay, well, there's 12 episodes in the first series. Yeah, but each of those episodes is a four-part serial as well. In some cases, they're up to 12 parts. Now, I'm up to about the end of what would effectively be the third season. And I've just watched a 12-part serial, which is a Dalek serial, which is Dalek's Master Plan. This is one of the ones that's mostly missing. And the way I've been watching this is because audio recordings have survived, which is people actually recorded these off-air at the time. Fans recorded the audio. So we've got the original audio of these still surviving, thanks to fans. Heaps and heaps of photographs were taken that they survive in various archives and personal collections. Mm-hmm. And so people have patched together with
any external stuff was shot on film.
Yeah,
all outdoor stuff was shot on film still. So there you go.
But in those days, most of the stuff was studio based,
right?
So anything that was missing is missing. So I'm watching these patched together. It's a really, really interesting way, almost a theatrical way to watch some of these early episodes. But I've watched them all in order, having so much fun doing it. I want to mention that 12 episode one though, because it is the trippiest thing that I have ever seen, because it starts off as a Dalek episode. They're running through time and space, turning up in random locations because you can't control the TARDIS at all at this point. And at one point they turn up, it's the Christmas episode, it's the first Christmas episode, turns up in the middle of this. They turn up in London, contemporary London. The police try and drag them out of the box. They're arrested for a short time. It becomes a pantomime episode. It's almost behind you. Oh no, he didn't. So it's almost a Zedcars episode at this point. And then they're having by the end of the episode, you know, the Doctor turns to camera and goes, "And Merry Christmas to all of you at home as well." In the next episode, they don't even return to normalcy. They're just in a cricket match for no apparent reason with an Australian and British commentator before finally returning to the story. The thing went mental, but there's some really, really, really good ideas in these early ones, like really playing with the concept of space and time. And there's one where they end up in a museum, but they've arrived there before an alternate timeline version of themselves or something. And then that kind of loses that plot line. But you can see that they had these big, big ideas and they were only constrained by budget back in those days. So much fun watching that. I am up to the episode I'm currently watching in a reconstructed form is called The Celestial Toymaker, where they're all being made to play these games within basically the giant toy box of a celestial toy maker.
Cool.
Which sounds very much like a Superman plot. Mm. So that's kind of weird. There's weird and wonderful episodes that I'm finding.
They're a lot trippier in the 60s too.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. And we've just like, you know, and they've companions have come and gone and stuff. So it's nice seeing how this thing played out. And I hadn't watched these early episodes in this, you know, in this run before. So it's nice to see that kind of rhythm happening there. Mm-hmm. So I'm you know, really getting into those. Can't wait, though, to get up to my favourite Doctor, which is Jon Pertwee, which is the third Doctor. So
That's where I actually came into Doctor Who when I was a kid. That was the first Doctor Who I watched.
That was the first one in colour.
Yeah, well, I was actually... I watched Jon Pertwee for, I think, probably the last year of his run, which then led into Tom Baker, and Tom Baker was my Doctor.
But I will keep you updated throughout the 50th anniversary.
And I would like to point out that you have infected my son. What's my son's name?
Nick's your buddy. Nick's the kind of guy you can trust. Kind of guy you can drink beer with. Kind of guy who doesn't mind if you puke in his car. Nick.
Yeah, my son Nick.
It's a good name for a boy.
He's actually watching it right now.
He's watching it right now. He's out there watching the early black and white. And he comes out to me last night, because he was watching one last night, and he comes out and goes, why is it in black and white? It's like, well, son, we used to not have color TV. Yeah. He goes, but Star Trek's in color.
And it's so, square.
It's square. So, yes. You've infected him and he's gone back. He's really interested, and maybe you can answer this because you're actually way ahead of him. He's waiting to find out where the TARDIS breaks so that it can't change shape.
It's happened.
Oh, it's already happened?
Yeah,
Does it happen in the show? Or?
No. It's sort of like the last form it took was a police box in 1960s London.
And it's never worked again.
So
the camouflage.
The chameleon circuit. But they do run into another Time Lord called the Meddling Monk, who was kind of like a proto-master. And he has a working chameleon circuit. So he turns up as stone... you know, slabs and coffins and things in various locations. So it's kind of a cool little concept.
I remember there's an episode, I think maybe in the Pertwee years, where there was a TARDIS that looks like a rock.
Yeah, that's probably the Master's TARDIS. Yeah.
I remember that. It looks like a giant boulder.
That was when they introduced the Master. It was originally played by John Delgado in Pertwee's era.
So, cool.
Very, very cool stuff. So I could geek on all day about Doctor Who.
But we will come back and geek on more next week about it.
I should just say, like, you've infected me as well because I've never really watched it.
Yeah, but we've suggested with Longo, and the listeners can actually write in and tell us if we're right, but we've actually suggested he should jump in at Eccleston.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I agree. For the modern era, it's a good jump on point. They explains enough to keep you going as well.
Yeah.
It's designed for people like you who kind of want... I want to watch this Doctor Who character.
Kind of like a reboot of a comic book. Oh, no, we won't go there.
But in continuity.
In continuity. Let's move into some news. Okay, so in our weekly news section this week, I thought we would start with a little thing that I actually found. I found it on firstshowing.net, but it is actually on YouTube. And, whoa, hello, what the hell happened there? my soundboard has got a life of its own. So I thought we'd play this.
Just like a TARDIS.
This was an open letter that was actually sent to J.J. Abrams this week.
Who?
in video form, and the video will be embedded in our show notes. It's at geekmovieclub.com. There won't be much else there, but you'll be able to see this video. Basically, it's got like little animations, but it's the words that are the most important thing. And these are the four rules that they're basically saying will make a good Star Wars film. If he adheres to these, he's in business.
So I haven't heard this. So.
Have a listen to this. Rule number one.
Star Wars doesn't happen in the city. It doesn't happen in Parliament or in the library. It happens out here. Away from civilization. Amidst smugglers and bounty hunters. Star Wars is a Western. And it's set in the frontier.
Rule number two.
Star Wars beauty isn't clean. It isn't new. It's dirty, gritty, a secondhand world. The beauty of the frontier.
Rule number three. These are written on screen.
We don't always need an explanation.
Like the one you just gave.
That's what I was thinking.
The power of the Force is the sense of magic that comes from the unknown.
And my favorite rule.
Walk into the wrong bar, lose your arm. Don't pay your debts, end up in carbonite. The frontier is a dangerous place. It's never cute or silly. It's not child-proofed. It's freaking Star Wars. And Han always shoots first.
All right. So.
I kind of agree with him on every point.
So do I. I think he's absolutely nailed
it. I was expecting that to be like a comedy thing. But
no. This was an open letter to you, basically saying, follow these rules and you will make a Star Wars film.
I'm not entirely sure this is being put out by Disney. So
I know. But you know what? Disney did make the first Pirates of the Caribbean, which had zombies and skeletons and...
You make an excellent point.
Savvy.
Clearly, you've never been to Singapore.
David Longo, what have you got for us?
The Farrelly brothers are making a new movie.
Oh,
and
really?
It's a movie we've seen before. But it looks amazing, I think. Dumb and Dumber 2 has just released its first official still.
Now, I've got a question about
this. That's Will McAvoy in that film.
I have a question about this photo because I looked at this photo earlier in the week. They just look so old. Are they really young enough to pull this off now?
But they're playing dads, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah. I heard the story was that they're looking for one of their daughters to get a kidney because one of them needs a kidney. Which is admittedly funny, right?
Yeah.
I'm a big Farrelly Brothers fan. I don't know if you guys are.
Not a
Depends on the film. I actually really
I don't like the last three or four.
Like, I really liked Shallow Hal. I really liked... I didn't like it at first, but I grew to like Something About Mary.
Mm-hmm. Something About Mary, everybody told me how funny it was when I finally watched it. I just kind of went,
and I was exactly the same reaction. And then I watched it again years later and actually found...
I think it's
bits
brilliant,
of it that are... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, there are beats in there that are actually, you know... Absolutely brilliant, but it not consistent. I think that's a problem with them. They're not consistently funny. Mm.
Yeah, there's a couple of moments in Kingpin that are quite funny too, but I think, it doesn't make a great film overall.
I think the first Dumb and Dumber is a classic. I think Me, Myself, and Irene is brilliant. I really like it.
I think what the problem is, I think it's because...
And welcome to Dave Longo's Farrelly Brothers Corner.
Absolutely.
Except I fucking hate it. There's the first swear word of the day of the hall pass.
And you just gave me permission to play this.
And Heartbreak Kid, you can play it again.
Yeah, that one.
And Stuck on You.
This little interlude has been brought to you by Sugar Smacks.
You bet. Just get Kellogg's Sugar Smacks, brand new.
The problem I had, I think, with the Farrelly brothers is that I came into Dumb and Dumber. It was the same year that The Mask came out, and I really enjoyed The Mask. And then I immediately ran to Dumb and Dumber because I thought, oh, you know, this is cool. And it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't there for me.
It was dumb.
It just wasn't there for me, you know. But anyway, that, you know, to each his own. And I look at this picture and I go, oh, Dumb and Dumber 2.
I think,
okay, haven't we done that already?
I may have watched Dumb and Dumber along with Ace Ventura 100 times.
Oh, don't talk about Ace Ventura in the same room as Richard.
But yeah, to each his own, as you said.
What I will say is... Yeah. Satan?
I thought you were someone else. Alrighty then.
You're a weird guy, Ace.
Can I have my first rant of the season, which is pop-up ads on websites? Those little scroll-down ads, and it says, click here to close. I click here to close.
And it opens four more.
Because my mouse is still over the ad that I've just closed, it automatically opens up. I cannot get rid of this ad.
It's called an infinite loop.
Yeah. Okay, I managed to get rid of it.
Oh, yay. All right. Just very quickly, I thought we'd come back to television for a second. We talked about this in Behind the Panels this week. We'll just mention it very quickly. Constantine is heading to NBC TV. David Goyer is writing it. And we did find out in panels a little bit more on that, which was that the producers of The Mentalist.
One of the producers of The Mentalist. One of the other people from The Mentalist is doing the Gotham series for...
That's right, which is also not on Warner Brothers.
Fox. Is DC doing what... Despite the fact that DC own all their properties...
TV network.
Warner owns DC and the TV network. Does this mean, well, they own 50% of the CW, because I think that's licensing rules and all
that. I think it's got something to do with Paramount as well.
Yeah. So. Does this mean that DC are in the same trouble that Marvel were in during the 90s and just licensing out their characters to anybody who
it would seem that. And I think the day that they have to license out Batman is a bad sign.
Two things worry me about this. One, David Goyer.
Yeah.
Can I just say about David
NBC.
Goyer quickly? Yeah,
he'll be coming up again.
Yeah,
in
okay, when you get back, go.
Okay.
Okay, we'll come back to David Goyer.
Yeah.
Because I think our next story actually is a David Goyer story as well. David Goyer, this news doesn't fill me with a lot of hope. A, because it's David Goyer, and B, Constantine can't go on network television. Hmm. It needs to be on a cable channel.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll be chain smoking. Oh, he'll probably be the same Constantine, not getting too much of the comic book stuff. Yeah, exactly. It'd be Constantine with like a Nicorette patch or something.
Richard, tell us second one.
Speaking of David Goyer, he actually came out this week. He came out this week.
He came out.
Yay!
Wow! Breaking news right here, people.
I have some respect for David Goyer.
That's a big Twinkie.
That's what he said.
He's been fucking, Zabira for a while.
Just to clarify, David Goyer did not come out this week, but he did say this week that there was an interview with the BAFTA and BFI screenwriters lecture that he gave, and people were he was addressing the controversy of Man of Steel. A lot of people felt the ending was controversial, and I think we can refer to we're talking about a spoilers rule. I think we can refer to the ending of Man of Steel.
It's about to come out on Blu-ray, and it's been well over 2 weeks, so let's talk about it.
Superman, well, actually, two major things. The amount of destruction that Superman would have caused and death that Superman would have caused in this movie, and the fact that he breaks the neck of his adversary at the end, which brought about a lot of fanboys and girls and just general members of the public saying, Superman doesn't kill, he's better than that, you know? They can be a great people, Kal-El, if you wish, you know. And he said, we were pretty sure that we're going to be controversial. It's not like we were deluding ourselves. We weren't just doing it to be cool. Yeah, you were. We felt, in the case of Zod, we wanted to put the character in an impossible situation and make an impossible choice. This is one area I've written comic books as well, and this is one area, not very good ones, this is one. This is where I disagree with some of my fellow comic book writers. Superman doesn't kill. It's a rule that exists outside the narrative, and I just don't believe that rules like that. I believe when you're writing for film or television, you can't rely on a crutch or rule that exists outside the narrative of the film. You know, I this is where I disagree with you, Mr. Goyer.
Why don't we just ask Stan Lee what he thinks about Superman? You know, we might as well, that'll get us closer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, David, I think when I first wrote Superman, when I created him, I thought he was marvelous. I thought this is a character I can get to kill and kill again.
Is evil.
That's all I have to say.
Look, you know, if that's what you believe, then it's like, you know, there's such a thing as a spirit of a character, you know, that you don't betray the spirit of a character. It's like saying, well, you know, I suppose we could have a movie about Lincoln where he rapes and kills children, because there's nowhere in the narrative that it says he can't do that. But, you know,
just because it wasn't written doesn't mean you can add it.
I mean, we can, but it serves the narrative, you know. I wanted to put him in an impossible situation where he was forced to, you know, kill a child or, you know, save the slaves. And it was a tough call. It was a tough call. One of the two had to happen, and he made the call, and he killed a child and he freed the slaves.
He did it all.
He did it all.
That's because David Goyer likes to put everything in
his. And then he broke
movies.
The neck of a vampire. So it was, because as we know, he was a vampire hunter.
Yeah. I don't really, you know, there was a time, we go back in time a little bit, there was a time when I actually thought, oh, David S. Goyer, that's good news, because Blade had come out, Blade was good.
Hang on, I've got something for that, David.
I actually have a clip on my soundboard that I'm terrified to play. I have a clip on my soundboard that says, back in the old days, and I have no idea what it is. Let's play it and find out. What do you think?
Back in the old days, there were Johnsons as far as the eye could see.
And what a lovely sight it was.
There you go. That's why I was afraid to play it. Anyway, well, I was about to say, David S. Goyer's name on a film that didn't necessarily fill me full of dread. Now it kind of fills me full of dread. We're getting things thrown at me all over the place.
We'll be able to move on then. There was a new trailer released this week, Dave.
Yes, speaking of Breaking Bad before, best show of all time, Aaron Paul, one of the actors that plays Jesse Pinkman in the show, is now the star of a Need for Speed film.
Haven't we already done a Need for Speed film? Isn't it called Fast and Furious?
Yeah, Italian Job, remade.
And Fast and Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious, Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift. Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious 5, Fast 6,
Fast 6,
and the upcoming yet
James
to be titled,
Wan presents Fast 7.
Fast 7.
Furious 7.
yes. I'm all for Aaron Paul being a big movie star, but I don't know about Need for Speed.
I don't think Need for Speed is going to be a big movie. That's the problem.
Yeah.
There's a sound clip I really wish we had right now.
Which is?
Which is from Top Gun.
And you know what the funny thing is? Have you seen the trailer for this thing? It actually says, get ready to feel the need. The Need for Speed.
Don't you love it how it's like full-blown operatic depression? Like,
I know. It's very sad.
It's meant to be about cops chasing cars, man. It's like the trailer's like, oh, my wife's dead. You know, what is it? Like, there's a shot of him carrying his dead girlfriend, like, out of flames. And you're like, what am I watching here? Like, this is about cars, right?
In a world where internal combustion engines go into metallic chassis and drive on pre-paved roads.
I think
Fast enough.
In a world. I think Commandant Lasard says it best when he says,
"Did a very, very bad thing."
Mm. I'm glad there's a lot of Police Academy content in this episode.
I love Police Academy. The first one, not the rest of them. All right, so
Speaking of Police Academy,
no, this has got nothing to do with Police Academy, but the Coen brothers are moving to TV, which I thought was really, really interesting. Fargo is actually being adapted into a TV series produced by them.
Oh, so they're actually involved.
Yes, they're actually involved. And they just announced this week that the casting of Martin Freeman as the lead in the series for Fargo. So an intriguing idea, whether Fargo actually flies or not as a TV series. I'm not sure. It's kind of a unique little film, and I don't know if you can actually do this as a weekly TV series, but stranger things have happened, I guess. So,
what are our thoughts? They've gotten into the wood chipper again. Again.
So, what are our thoughts on Fargo as a TV series?
Here's
a better question for you. If you were going to adapt any Coen Brothers film to series, would it be Fargo or would there be something else?
Raising Arizona
would be good.
Big Lebowski.
Although Raising Arizona has been done. Isn't it called Raising Hope? Yeah. It's Rednecks Raising a Kid.
Big Lebowski the series.
Big Lebowski could be funny.
Jeff Bridges and,
Hardsucker Proxy, but they do it like a comedy Mad Men.
That would actually work. Yeah, that would actually work. That is,
For kids.
For kids.
What about the Lady Killers?
They go to a different old lady's house each week.
What's the name of that one with Billy Bob Thornton? It's in black and
white.
The man who wasn't there. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that'll turn into a series somehow.
That's why AMC is losing Breaking Bad, so maybe.
Well, yeah, there is that. I'm not sure if Fargo is the one I would have gone with. No. Do you know what you could turn into is Miller's Crossing.
Miller's Crossing. Actually, that would be really good.
A gangster series. We haven't had one since The Sopranos. You know,
except for Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah,
who cares about that one?
Honestly, amazing show. You've clearly never been to Singapore.
The only reason I say it is because I haven't watched it yet. So.
I think it's time for a brief interlude, David.
This little boy and this little girl, their mother and father too. They all have an urge, and oh, what an urge, for something to munch and chew.
Choo-choo.
Now these are just swell, and this rings the bell. The popcorn is crispy and hot. Then others again have a terrible yen for a drink that hits the spot.
Go, go.
So if you want candy, the lobby is handy. A counter with sweets and a crew. With your kind permission, we'll have intermission. We're ready to serve all of you.
You believe any of this voodoo bullshit, Blair?
And now for what passes as news this week.
Well, probably the big almost news story was the feud between Kanye West and Jimmy Kimmel, talk show host. Kanye West, very outspoken person. In fact, he'll probably write into the show by the end of it to say...
Don't talk to me, don't talk to my friends, don't talk to anything. You're not allowed to talk, do not talk to anybody.
Don't put any microphones anywhere near you.
Just don't talk.
Right. I'll make good music.
Hey, if we get a put down in his next album, that'll be great.
Oh man, I want it.
No podcast in the wild.
No podcast. Oh, I love it. First of all, he appeared on a BBC interview and he was talking about, I don't know, the struggle of being him or something.
The struggle of being him.
The pains of being Kanye. And then, Jimmy Kimmel picked the story up and he played a little bit of that interview on his show.
I enjoyed almost every word that came out of Kanye's mouth, but this was probably my favorite moment.
Where is the culture at? So then I scream and I'm sitting in the middle of it, whether I'm at a dinner with Anna Wintour or, I'm at a listening session with Pusha, or me and Virgil are in Rome giving designs to Fendi over and over and getting our designs knocked down. Brought the leather jogging pants 6 years ago to Fendi. And they said, no. How many you done seen with a leather jogging pant?
I don't know. None? Is that really a thing? Yeah. Are they leather jogging pants?
That's right. Kanye was upset that he brought the idea of leather jogging pants to Fendi. And
he's incoherent.
I didn't understand a word of that.
Well, read his Twitter feed. But,
blood on the leaves.
Which is what we get into. Now, Jimmy Kimmel took that concept a little bit further, and he thought, what would happen if he tried to make more sense of Kanye's words by filtering them through a different voice?
And to be honest, I don't follow a lot of what Kanye West has to say, so we thought it might be fun to simplify it. And what we did is we took the actual transcript from this interview and we hired two children to act it out for us.
If I see something, if I see opportunity, I'm going to go for it. You know what I'm saying? We're all going to die one day. Yeah, that's true. I reached the point in my life where my Truman Showboat has hit the painting. I'm not trying to regurgitate myself. I'm a prime person. Not just clothing, but water bottle design, architecture, everything you can think about. Brought the leather jogging pants 6 years ago to Fendi, and they said no. How many have you done seen with leather jogging pants? Where's the culture at? Where is the culture at?
Where is the culture at?
Now, Kanye, being Kanye, didn't want to take this lying down. He took to the social networks to say how much he was displeased with Jimmy Kimmel making fun of his words. What he wisely chose to do was take on a professional comedian in doing so.
There was actually there's a great quote from David Letterman many years ago when he actually had Madonna on the show. You may remember the infamous Madonna scene. And the next day, after he basically banned Madonna from going on his show again, he said, it was kind of like a battle of wits with an unarmed woman. And I think this is very much the case here. I think Jimmy Kimmel is having a battle of wits with an unarmed man.
Yeah, well, here's just a few of Kimmel reading out a few of the tweets.
Oh, excellent.
On his show.
Joe, Jimmy Kimmel is out of line to try and spoof in any way the first piece of honest media in years. Okay. All right, what else do we have? Jimmy Kimmel, I don't take it as a joke. You don't have scumbags hopping over fences trying to take pictures of your daughter. I don't even know what that refers to. Okay, what else do we have here? Jimmy Kimmel, put yourself in my shoes. Oh, no, that means you would have gotten too much good in your life. I've seen the video, I know. He really is Paca. So, I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know why he's angry. Again, the bit was pretty, I thought, innocuous. But finally, I'm in a rap feud.
I love the fact that there's the one quote there that he didn't read on air, which is, should I do a spoof?
No, he read it, but I trimmed it down.
Should I do a spoof about your face or are you fucking Ben Affleck?
I love hashtag.
Hashtag, no disrespect to Ben Affleck. Second hashtag, all disrespect to Jimmy Kimmel.
And what is with Kanye writing all tweets in capitals? He just shouts everything.
David, where's the culture at? Oh dear! I hope this feud continues.
Has he lost his mind? Has Kanye actually lost his mind?
The problem is
Kim Kardashian. So
the problem is, no one man should have all that power.
and Kanye, it's Geek Actually on Skype.
Skype. If you want to talk to us, no, we really want to hear your story.
We love your music, man.
We actually were big fans. We've bought all your records. Well, not all your records. I bought a fair chunk of your records.
Oh, look, I'm a fan. I like his music. I don't think he's a whack job, though. Please, you know,
David, we're trying to get Kanye on the show.
I'm an ocean away. I don't care. He can diss me all he wants.
Ocean away.
He's the Woody Allen of rap music.
Can you imagine Woody Allen doing a Kanye rap? You know. You know, the clock's ticking. I just count the hours.
I think you should read. I think you should read a couple of the tweets that Kanye wrote as Woody Allen for us, please.
Tears playing the mausoleum floor. Lies on the lips of a priest.
Took blood on the leaves, man.
Oh dear.
And tune in for our regular section. Woody Allen does rap.
Okay, we're going to move along.
Oh, the hot ones.
Kanye, good luck to you out there. I think you have literally started to lose your mind, and I think you should go out and hang out with Miley Cyrus and her tongue. David Longo, we need a theme for you, don't we?
We have a theme.
Oh, we have a theme. This is Dave's Quiz of the Week.
Pop quiz, hot shot. There's a bomb on a bus.
Once the bus goes 50 miles an hour, the bomb is armed. If it drops below 50, it blows up. What do you do? What do you do?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. And I want to have them answered immediately.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So this is the very first quiz. I've been looking forward to this.
All right, here we go.
Thinking caps on.
And, I'm limber. Let's do it.
Just so you guys, the audience, I mean, just so you know, Dave and Richard here do not know what the quiz is.
Nope.
They don't know any of the contents, just like you. So play along with Dave and Richard.
All right, here we go.
And the topic of today's quiz is screams from famous films.
Oh.
And I've got 10 screams, and they start off easy and they get really hard. So I've given you guys a choice. Either you guess the actor screaming or you guess the movie that it's from.
All right, hit me with it.
So here's the very first one.
You all look good after this, man.
Thanks, man.
So ready?
Yeah.
It's new. Some.
Oh, you fucker! Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's just your job.
You want me to stop now?
No. That's okay. Let's do another.
That one little patch looks sexy, though. Does
I look like a man, yes.
It looks mantastic.
I'm gonna.
Should we stop
wait,
that?
Wait, no.
Wow, I didn't expect that at all.
They get funny.
I really didn't expect that.
This is the longest one.
You got it.
Wow.
The first one's the only one that.
Yeah.
Hurts.
Well, those hairs are pretty deep. Yep.
You ready?
Yep.
It's me.
God! Fuck him on the cockle!
No, there's one more. This is the one.
I've got it. It's the Kim Kardashian sex tape.
And all I'm going to say is my answer is, you look like a mandel lantern.
That was, of course, the 40-year-old version.
Yes, it was the 40-year-old version.
Okay, so should we hit up the second audio challenge?
Oh, just before you do, I just want to state that I could have gone for the obvious, like, you know, Faye Ray, King Kong. I could have gone for Janet Leigh, Psycho.
Yeah. So they're not in here?
They're not in here. I haven't gone for the famous obvious ones. I've tried to make it a little bit interesting.
All right, okay. So let's hit up the second audio clip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Faye Ray. No, I've already got it. I know it.
Yep.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator.
Yes, Dave.
Nicely done. Yep. All right. Let's see if I can reclaim some dignity.
Okay.
I've enjoyed. I wash my hair with the Dove formula shampoo and use cream rinse for that just wash shine. I can't seem to find my toothbrush, so I'll pick one up when I go out today. Other than that, I'm in good shape.
Okay. You can have that one.
That one is Home Alone 2. No, it's Home Alone.
Home Alone, yes.
Janet Leigh, right? Janet Leigh Curtis, right?
Okay, this is the fourth audio clip challenge, and it's on, McVeigh.
Do the thing with the knife,
please.
Oh, come on, yeah.
Hey, what are you doing, man? Hey, what are you doing? Come on, quit messing around, Drake. Come on, Bishop. Hey, man. Hey, not me, man. Hey, come on, quit messing around.
Don't move.
Come on. Funny, man.
That sounded like the most painful masturbation scene.
Game over, man. That was Janet Leigh.
That was an easy enough one,
yeah.
I think
we all know that's...
For those of you who haven't guessed it yet, it is, of course, Alien Resurrection. No, that was me coming out of the theater. Okay, audio clip number...
Five.
I think it's Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, but...
Ooh, close.
Am I close? No, oh no, it's Raiders.
It's Raiders.
Raiders, yes.
Oh, that's the
Dave is on fire with
it's
this.
It's the Raiders,
oh,
yeah.
Wow. I've got no chance of making a comeback. Well, there's still five answers. I could
still
take this.
There's still five
this.
More.
Yep. Okay, let's go.
Oh, no, not the beast!
Rough.
That one's all yours, Richard.
Oh, dear. to hear that.
It's the kind of guy you can trust. Kind of guy doesn't mind if you puke in his car.
Oh, that is, of course, the incomparable Nicolas Cage.
Absolutely.
From the Wicker Man. Yes. Well, okay, let's hit up number 7.
Oh my god, I have no idea, but I want to see that movie.
I'm sure you've seen it, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give us a hint?
Yeah, it's Donald Sutherland.
Oh, it's the Body Snatchers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Okay, this is...
Invasion of.
Invasion of,
yes. Yeah, that's how we file it in the library. Body Snatchers, comma, okay. Invasion of.
This is a tricky one.
And I'll even go so far as to say 1970... I want to say 76 or 77.
76 sounds about right.
Philip Kaufman,
yes,
is the director.
But who was the busboy?
Leonard Nimoy.
This is an extra credit question now. Ooh. Number 8.
I can give you the extra credit on that one. Yep. That was Luke Skywalker, Empire Strikes Back, Special Edition.
Correct. And Richard knew that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a very familiar one.
In the original cut, he doesn't make any noise.
Yes.
And funnily enough, in the Blu-ray cut, he doesn't make any noise.
No, they removed it. Oh, yeah. Thank
God for that. They've actually taken it away.
Unfortunately, in all the Blu-ray editions, they've got the no.
No.
Alrighty, here's
number 9.
Number nine. Oh, it didn't happen. Oh, I hit the... Yeah, you know what I did? I hit the wrong button.
They're eating her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God!
You stumped me on that one.
They're eating her and then they're going to eat me.
Oh my god!
Is it a zombie film?
Close.
I would kind of guess that, but
is it a critters type film?
Yes, closer.
Troll 2?
Yes, Troll 2.
Oh, hey!
Wow, this is the hardest one. Although once you know it, you'll
never forget it. Yeah. All right, the final question in Dave's quiz of the week. Yeah.
I just like the button.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, definitely. I picked that one fairly early. That was Alien. But,
it took me a while. It was actually when it stopped and then started going, it's the worst breakfast scene ever.
Yeah. I thought you were going to be really tricksy and that was like Spaceballs. You know?
Well, at one point I was thinking early on, I was actually thinking it was The Exorcist. I thought it was them rattling around on the bed in The Exorcist. But yeah, no.
That was fantastic. Great. Brilliant, brilliant work. That will be a regular segment. I hope you can keep them up as good as that.
And after watching Alien.
Ray has gone bye-bye. What have you got left?
Sorry, Beckman. Terrified beyond the capacity for rational thought.
Okay, so that kind of brings us to an end of this week of the Geek Movie Club. We should, traditionally, we've always played The Girl from Ipanema. At the end of our shows, we talk about where you can find us. I've got a new piece of music for us on this one, so I thought I would play this one.
It's the old classic.
That's right, Jay. This is our quiet time where we get down and we talk about where you can find us. This is actually Howard the Duck, by the way.
Of course it's Howard the Duck. The best piece of saxophone music
ever recorded.
I feel like you should be drinking gin.
It's good. I like it. I like it. It brings it down. So, if you've enjoyed listening to the Geek Movie Club this week, please join us every week. We will be continually modifying and adapting and playing with the format of the show until we're happy with it, which we'll probably never be.
Please let us know.
Please let us know everything about what you think about this show. You can leave feedback on iTunes. We'll actually have its own feed, but for the moment, it's just going out on
the Geek Actually Superfeed.
The Geek Actually Superfeed. Feedback at geekmovieclub.com is now active, and you can send email to that. We've just used the Geek Actually Facebook page, I think, for this one.
I think
one.
For now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for now.
We'll until we become huge.
And yeah, we need to spread it out, spread its wings, so to speak. You can find me on Twitter at David McVeigh.
You can find me on Twitter at DVDBits.
You can find me Twitter at Dave Longo. And apologies if you're playing that podcast at work over the loudspeaker. I hope you didn't lose your job.
If you work in like a big department store, try and play this on a regular basis over the loudspeakers. See how long you last at work.
I'd like to hear us in surround sound.
Yeah. I'd like just to know that we're being listened to by millions of Kmart shoppers. You know, that's what I want to hear, you know.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So we're going to do our fond farewell now. The music is coming to a conclusion. We will be ending the show with...
a bit sad, actually. With this music.
We will be ending the show on a more upbeat piece of music. I haven't picked it yet. So when we get around to that, we'll put it on there. But we will end the show, as we always ended the show, on...
With a dedication to David Escoya.
Well, there is.
You're listening to Love Song Dedications. This one goes out to David Escoya. Here's a neck-breaking weekend for you, David.
And a get-well card to Miley Cyrus. On film, actually, when we used to do this film show, I used to always end with this little phrase, and it was a paraphrase from a movie. Well, for this show, I thought we'd just go straight to the source. I'm Dave McVeigh.
I'm Richard Gray.
Dave Longo.
And keep this in mind.
Well, I don't know.